accession number 16848, Reel 1.
Mr. Cornish, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Poland.
Which place?
In a town called Lwów, which is situated in the eastern part of Poland.
Which year was this?
1920.
Can you tell me about your family background, what your father did for a living and so on, please?
Well, my father was a graduate engineer. He was a director in the southern part of Poland, in a place called Schodnica, which was the center of the oil industry in Poland. I myself was born in Leeds, probably because Schodnica was a very little, it was a village with no hospitals or any amenities, so obviously my father must have sent my mother to Lwów, where my grandfather and grandmother lived.
Did you have your education in Lwów?
I had my primary education in Lwów, yes. Then my what is called gymnasium, which is the college. I think it's the equivalent would be the college. And then I studied at the College of Technology in Lwów also for 3 years, and eventually I gained a diploma in mechanical engineering. That was in 1941, early 1941. That was obviously at the time already in the when the country was occupied by the by the Soviets. That part of the country I lived in. They have obviously entered into the eastern part of Poland in late 1939, together with the Germany from the other side, and occupied Lwów then.
What were you doing when the Russian army came into eastern Poland?
I was still studying. And it was obviously it was war, and therefore the studies were suspended while Russians organized themselves and started to occupy all the positions, both in universities, colleges, schools, and also in administration. The college was restarted in 1940, and they allowed us to continue the studies and eventually to finish them earlier than anticipated, early in 1941.
What do you remember of the day the Russian army came in?
I remember it very vividly. They came in the part of the city I lived in, which was the northern part, sorry, it was the southern part of the city, was occupied by the mechanized army. I remember tanks and armored vehicles in the streets. We were completely disoriented at the time. We did not know why they came. It appeared originally that they came to help us fight the Germans, which obviously was not true. And they were very tense with the revolvers and machine guns trained sort of on the people. And after a while, it became very, 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 what's the word? We became very anxious of the situation. Well, my father collected all of us, because I had 2 sisters as well, and took us back home. And we just waited for things to happen.
What was the reaction of the population towards the Red Army?
Originally, it was favorable, because as I said before, we thought that they came to help us. But then great
Disillusionment.
Disillusion, yes, set in when we realized that it was an occupational army.
What was the population of Lvov? Was it all Poles or was it mixed?
Well, it was mixed. It was Lvov is situated in the eastern part of Poland and near the Ukrainian border, and there were quite a large population of Ukrainians in Lvov. At that time, they did not call themselves Ukrainians; they called themselves Poles. as I said, there was quite a proportion of the Ukrainians living in that city. I remember the early, my first year of secondary education, I had to learn Ukrainian as a compulsory language, apart from obviously Polish.
Was there any difference in attitude towards the Red Army between the Polish speakers and the Ukrainian speakers?
Yes, there was. Of course, the Ukrainians immediately assumed the role of informers, the role of superior citizens, and I have witnessed various incidents which were rather traumatic, where they used knives and revolvers to terrorize Poles.
What incidents did you witness?
I witnessed robberies. I witnessed breakings in. Fortunately, it did not happen to us, but it happened to friends of ours a number of occasions. Rapes. That sort of that thing. I don't think we want to talk about that side because it would seem I have a tendency to be and against the Ukrainians. Most certainly I'm not against them as a nation, but I was against the individuals who should have behaved differently.
Was there any communist sympathy on the part of anybody?
Well, they declared themselves to be communists. And the organizations which they belonged to declared themselves to be pro-Russian, pro-Soviet.
Do you think the communist sympathy was genuine?
Opportunist, probably. Some of it was genuine, obviously, yes. But mostly, opportunists. They've seen an advantage to declare themselves to be as such.
Because the communists were the new rulers.
Right.
How did the new regime affect you?
It did not affect me too badly, actually, because as I said, I was in school. My sisters were, who are younger, also in school. So we just continued as normal. We had meetings and we met, talked, discussed, played records, the usual things that young people do.
Was there any resistance movement to the new regime that you knew about?
Yes, but it did not happen immediately. It started to happen around about middle of 1940, towards the end of 1940. It was organized, but it wasn't organized very well. Because we had no experience of this clandestine work. I myself and my sister belonged to such an organization, but it was child's play rather than some serious resistance.
In what way was it child's play?
Well, we've tried to sabotage various units, Soviet units, played dirty tricks on officers that we've identified, you know, and things like that. But it wasn't anything that was extremely malicious, let's say that way.
What kind of sabotage did you do?
Disabled a few floor lorries, military lorries.
How did you do that?
By firing them.
Setting them afire?
Setting them afire, yes. Never caught. We were never caught.
Who was the leader of the group?
This girl was a friend of mine from the college, and he was a very resourceful young man. And he's eventually had to flee with his family to the other side, and he crossed the border and went to western part of Poland, which is occupied with the Germans then. And he died. He died in the Warsaw Uprising.
Might we know his name?
Yes, it's no harm because he's not alive.
Maybe it will come back to
escape,
you.
Escape me at the moment, yeah. So
were these army lorries that you attacked?
Yes, they were.
How much danger was there to you in being involved in these activities?
I don't know. We didn't think about that. We didn't think about danger. Of course, we knew the terrain better than the Russian did. We knew the town very well. We knew the side streets. We knew where to hide, where to run, how to run. So I don't think there was a great danger.
What did you think about the communist system yourself at this time?
Well, it was sort of instinctive dislike of the system, instinctive. You witnessed the behavior of the Russians, the soldiers, and the intelligence level, according to our standards, was extremely low. So we ridiculed them most of the time. For instance, incidents, silly things like selling them watches with no works inside, you know, selling things that did not work. I used to make radio receivers at the time, which were still used on the crystal, you know, not the which did not work, but they paid a lot of money for them. That was a source of income. Things like that. So we did not see them as an intelligent elite, you know, that sort of occupied the country to you know, they portrayed themselves as liberators from capitalism, from kuwaks, as they used to call them, people who were wealthy, and which is ridiculous, you know, because it's so transparent.
How were the Soviet soldiers behaving?
They were behaving reasonably well. I can't say that I have witnessed any real attacks on people or that sort of thing. But we tried to avoid any contacts with them.
Was your education affected by the communist regime?
Yes, it was, because it was curtailed, and a lot of subjects which were supposed to have been studying were not on the curriculum any longer. because apparently they said they were politically biased, which were not. They're kind of subjects, you know. They were machines and things like that, and thermodynamics, I couldn't see any political bias in that. And also, most of the professors who taught us were arrested, including the head of the establishment as well. And I understand that most of them were killed.
Was the standard of living affected by the new regime?
Oh, the standard of living was tremendously affected. The shortages of everything virtually were very, very real. You had to fight to live. You had to sort of live on your wits, trying to buy a pound of meat or some sugar, tea, which eventually disappeared from the market completely. Yes, coffee did, sugar did. But as young we were, you know, we organized themselves in such a way that we used to seek various places where you can buy things cheaply or otherwise, and we used to inform each other on the sources of that. So we lived very, very poorly indeed, but sometimes, you know, there was no main meal during the day. Just scraps of this and that and the other.
What happened to you next?
Well, next I have graduated, grandly called this. I had a diploma as a mechanical engineer, technologist. I obtained a job in a small factory which produced diesel engines, not far from the place I lived. And that was a private establishment before, factory run by very cultured gentleman called Mr. Dombrowski. He was a graduate engineer. And the place was taken over, obviously, as other places of that kind, bigger or smaller, were taken over by the Russian administration, the Soviet administration. And director was appointed, the Russian director was appointed to run the place. I remember his name was Vorobyev. Of course, he didn't know the fist from his fingers. And the contrast between the two men, the previous owner who used to work as a bookkeeper then, there, and that gentleman who was supposed to run the place, was so tremendous that there was virtually no comparison. Again, we ridiculed them. Yeah, him, obviously. But strange enough, he was a very nice and a very good man. I must say this. He lived two houses away from us. And he actually met my mother, not my father, but my mother, who spoke fluent Russian and German. And they knew each other. And she just asked him if there are any jobs in the area that I could do, you know, being a trained engineer, sort of thing. And he said, yes, come up. And I did, and he engaged me as an assistant to the head engineer.
Was this a socialist enterprise?
Sorry?
Was this a socialist enterprise, a state enterprise now?
Well, everything belonged to the state. Everything does belong to the state in communist Russia. There was no private industry. because he had the directives from his superiors. It was a farce. It wasn't a production union any longer, because there were no raw materials. We had to do what we had and what was left in the yard, you know. It was not running well.
What happened to you next?
Then, one day, I was called to his office, and there were two Russians sitting there in uniforms. One was the major, the other was the captain. And they started talking to me. Initially, I did not know what was going on, why they wanted to speak to me. But it soon became clear. They suggested I enlisted in the army. Now, the rationale of that was that as they occupied the eastern part of Poland, it ceased to be Poland. And therefore, all the citizens living in that part of the country became Russian citizens. And we had to register ourselves in the offices, the special offices, to receive the passes, declaring that we are the Russian citizens. Therefore, as being a Russian citizen and being over 20 years of age, I was eligible for military service. They suggested that I join voluntarily, and because of my profession, I'll be sent to one of the mechanized units to serve my 2 years military service. They promised all sorts of things. They said that my family will be looked after. My family, my younger sisters. I have nothing to fear about the future. Well, I said that I did not think of myself as a military man. I never did. I never wanted to serve in the army. And I said, well, thank you very much. I'm not interested.
Had the war with Germany and Russia broken out?
No, not yet. That happened later in 1941, in July, I think it was. So the answer was, well, you better change your mind, I've been told. Because it would look better when you volunteer rather than we take you by force. So there was no choice. Then for the next few weeks, an intensive course in Russian started, which I had to attend. I didn't mind, because, you know, learning a language is a useful thing. And as I had an aptitude for languages, particularly then when I was younger, I didn't mind. And in May 1941, or April 1941, I think it was, I was asked to present myself at the railway station when they had the trains ready. And that was my first day in the army.
What was it like in the Russian army?
Well, I did not serve in Poland. We were sent to Caucasian mountains, because that's south of Russia, obviously, where a new unit, a panzer division, an armored division was being formed. Beautiful country, beautiful weather. And I couldn't really complain, because the reception was very good, the conditions were very good, good food, good quarters, clean. Then there are various curious things that happened during my stay in the army, because as I mentioned before, the level of intelligence of the average Russian is very low, and the same was true there. Even the commanding officer of my unit was, he lived in awe of me. I had that silly thing to say, but that appeared to me. He was extremely anxious to know how it was in Poland. How did we live? What did we have? What possessions did we have? What our houses were like? The country, political system, and everything else. Now, this wasn't supposed to be an armored division, because there were no tanks, there were no cars, there were no lorries, there was nothing, there was no arms, no rifles, nothing at all of that nature. Because we were assured that, you know, one day it will all come. In the meantime, so we used to run with sticks as rifles and exercising. One good thing about the Russian army is they played a lot of emphasis on physical education. And that was compulsory. Compulsory, as everything else was compulsory, obviously, but particularly that. 2 or 3 hours a day, physical exercises on instruments and other exercises, which was good, because it gave, for me, you know, I was rather thin, and I would say weakling, but not very well developed physically, but that helped me a hell of a lot. I found myself a very nice position there, because eventually 2 motorcycles have arrived for the whole unit, and as nobody else could run, ride on a motorbike or do anything about mechanics, I was the only one, so I was given the charge of these 2 fantastic machines. They were all very old, decrepit, so they had to be put in order. I have an aptitude for that sort of thing, at the motorbike in Poland. We set up a small workshop and started repairing them. And eventually they were okay. In the meantime, the culture life sort of was started there as well.